You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast with me and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Man, just first and foremost, man, I wanted to say happy holidays to everybody, man. We're just 5 days away from Christmas, man. An exciting time. Christmas is actually my favorite holiday. I love the Christmas, just the whole vibe of Christmas, man. Just from the decorating to the wrapping gifts, just everything, man. I've always loved Christmas as a kid, man. And I hope y'all have gotten your Christmas shopping out of the way. If you haven't, man, you still got a few days left. Get out there early, because it's crazy out here in the streets, man. I made sure that I knocked out my Christmas shopping last weekend because I did not want to be, you know, stuck in the mall, stuck in all that traffic, especially down here in Atlanta where it's crazy on a regular day. So you can only imagine how it is during Christmas time, man, when everybody's doing that last minute shopping. So again, man, I hope everybody got their shopping done. But if not, man, make sure you get out there early. Make sure you're safe out here as well, man, because people are crazy, y'all. But yeah, man, we got some good stuff to talk about on this show, man. A lot of things going on in the sports world right now, as always. What else is new? But, you know, we got the NFL season is winding down, man. We only got a few weeks left, man. People are fighting for playoff position and all kind of things going on there. Some teams are still in the hunt in the NFC and the AFC. So just, you know, excited to see how that finish turns out over these next few weeks. So we'll continue to follow that, obviously. But man, I just wanted to, you know, first off, talk college football, man, because, you know, we have bowl games have officially kicked off. Well, really those small bowl games, but we have bowl season that is officially kicked off, and we have the Final Four matchups, the top four teams that have been selected by the committee. I hadn't had a show in a while, so I hadn't had an opportunity to cover that. If you know, y'all forgive me for that. I actually had to end up going to get another piece to be able to record. So I lost one of the pieces that I used to record my episode. So I had to actually go to a few different stores to be able to find it. So I finally found it. So here I am again, back with another episode. But yeah, man, let's talk. You know, the top four right now. So I know, you know, this has already been talked about plenty of times over the last couple of weeks, but I just wanted to cover it and you know, give my opinion on it. So this question of, you know, are the four best teams in the college football playoffs? And after that, you know, I'll just give you guys like a preview of what the matchups are for the New Year's Six Bowls. I'm not going to dive too much into them individually just yet because we still have a couple weeks until we kick those games off. So I definitely want to save some time to be able to, you know, talk more in depth about those games. But I just want to, you know, cover what those matchups are and, you know, and like I said, we'll continue to follow them, these other bowl games as these weeks go on. So the first one, like I said, man, are the four best teams in the college football playoffs. So if you ask me, in my opinion, I believe the committee got three out of the four best teams in the playoffs, but not the four best teams in the playoffs. So in the top four, you have UGA finished at number one, Michigan's number two, TCU's number three, and Ohio State got in at number four. So, you know, looking at it, like I said, one, two, and three, they pretty much everybody agreed from the committee, from majority of people in the media, everybody agreed that they felt like UGA, Michigan, and TCU are safe no matter what. because, you know, they were all up there with undefeated. So they were safe no matter what. You know, USC was that team that was, you know, right on the literally right there on the brink of getting in the playoff, but fumbled the bag against Utah. But, you know, Ohio State ended up being the team that got in. It came down to Ohio State and Alabama, and Ohio State was the team that the committee ended up putting in. So for me personally, you know, and you can call me crazy or whatever, and I'm fine with that, but Ohio State is not a better team than Alabama. You know, the committee knows that. The world knows that. The world knows Alabama. Ohio State's not better than Alabama. Now, Alabama had two losses at the end of the day, you know. But, you know, you look at those losses, both were a combined 4 points. One being on the last field goal of the game on the road against Tennessee. The second one being on a 2-point conversion on the road in overtime at LSU. Two hostile environments to play in, both, you know, at the buzzer, you know. So combined 4 points. But then you look at Ohio State's loss, man. You get blown out by 22 points at home in the biggest game on your schedule. I just don't understand how you can forgive something like that. You know, I just looked at that as, you know, and they say they remember what you do in November. But the last memory that everybody had before the playoffs of Ohio State was them getting beat down by Michigan for the second year in a row. So it's like, I, looking at that, I'm just like, well, as a committee, how can you just forgive that? How do you just ignore a beatdown like that? And, you know, the chairman got up there and said, you know, oh, well, the game was still within reach until the fourth quarter, and that's when Michigan started to pull. Look, I don't want to hear none of that, okay? Michigan dominated these dudes. Like, they dominated them. And, you know, I just look at it. And what was funniest to me is, you know, they're talking about, you know, biggest wins. And I'm not saying Alabama has, you know, the best wins or anything like that, because at the end of the day, the wins, you know, the wins are the wins, and it is what it is. But, you know, they were holding on to that, oh, you know, the Notre Dame win when they were number 5, the first game of the season. But was that really impressive? Because Notre Dame, where are they now? They're not even ranked. Notre Dame's not ranked. So how is that? And they always talk about, I love how they like to look at teams. Every year they do this thing where they're looking at Alabama and they say, oh, well, who is Alabama beating? Because they're not ranked now. But when it comes to, I feel like when it comes to other teams, they don't look at it that way. They say, oh, well, when they beat them, they were number 5. They were number 4 when they beat them. But it doesn't matter about where they are now. And I don't know if anybody else was paying attention to that, but I was. When they look at Alabama, oh, their best win is Mississippi State and all these, like they'll shade the wins, but forget that. Oh, you beat a Ole Miss team that was they were number 11, but they don't mention that, you know, because nobody cares about what they were when they were beat. They care about where they are right now. And so I just don't think that the Notre Dame win, you could really say that was impressive because they're not ranked anymore. And then looking at Penn State being at number 8, that's a joke. Like, they fell in love with that. Oh my God, Penn State is number 8. Like, that's a solid win by Ohio State. Okay, who have they beat? Can anybody tell me who Penn State has beat? No, you can't, because they haven't beat anybody in the top 25. Pull their schedule up right now. Penn State has not. They don't have one top 25 win. So is that really impressive? Nah, it's not. But I will say this. Even though I'm an Alabama alum, I love Alabama. Y'all know this. I mean, this is nothing new. Alabama, at the end of the day, like I said, they had two losses. The committee looked at that and they said, okay, they really simply put it down to Ohio State has one loss, Alabama has two losses. That's literally how they ended up coming about. Like all the other stuff that they want to throw in there about the oh, who has the better wins and who, look, the eye test can tell you that Alabama's a better team. But they wanted to simplify this as much as possible and make it as less stressful as, for themselves as possible. And they said, Bama has two losses, Ohio State has one loss, Ohio State's in. At the end of the day, like I said, I love Alabama, but you got to win the games. You got to handle business. If Bama wins that game at Tennessee, and mind you, had an opportunity to win the game at the end in the fourth quarter, but missed a huge opportunity. You know that now that game was reffed terribly, but still had an opportunity to win that game. Got to win that. LSU, you got to have that one. You got to have it. You have to win games and leave no doubt. At the end of the day, leave no doubt. Win. And this isn't even a discussion. So it's just a lesson to be learned. You know, I was hopeful that they would look at Bama and give them an opportunity. But was I surprised that they didn't put Alabama in? No, I'm not surprised. I'm not. I personally don't think, like I said, I personally don't think that Ohio State is a better team than Alabama. They're just not. But to look at it from that perspective, if Alabama would have just won the games that they lost, like, this would never even have been a discussion. And then, you know, you kind of look at it ahead of the championship. The conference championship week, they had Ohio State ranked at 5 and Alabama at 6. So it was kind of, it would have been wild to see Alabama, jump over Ohio State and get put in. They didn't want to have those type of problems. I see what the committee did. They just made it as simple and easy for themselves as possible. So it is what it is. But like I said, hey, man, look, it's cool. Y'all know Alabama is back next year. we look, we'll be back. And then the year after that, man, when they expand this thing to 12, oh, it's a wrap. You won't see us miss the playoffs. I guarantee you that. But yeah, man. So they said the matchups right now. So you got number one UGA. They're gonna face off against number four Ohio State. That's gonna be one of the matchups, and then that's going to be played here in Atlanta, and then the next matchup is you got Michigan and you have TCU. So that matchup is actually going to be played. That's the Fiesta Bowl. So you got the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl is Ohio State and Georgia, and then the Fiesta Bowl is TCU and Michigan. So, you know, we'll see how these games turn out. I'm not going to dive, you know, deep into these matchups, and I'm not going to, you know, tell you, who I think is going to win and all that. I'm saving all of that. Look, I'm not doing that too early. I just wanted to, like I said, just tell y'all what the match, well, I mean, like, not like y'all already didn't know that, but I just wanted to preview that. And that game is, the Fiesta Bowl is going to be played in Arizona. So, looking at the New Year's Six Bowl matchup, so just wanted to quickly run down who those matchups will be. So, you got number six Tennessee against number seven Clemson. That's the Orange Bowl. And you got number five Alabama against number nine Kansas State in the Sugar Bowl. I already told you guys the semifinal matchups. And then you have the Cotton Bowl. Is number 16 Tulane versus number 10 USC, and you have the Rose Bowl is number 11 Penn State against number 8 Utah. So, you know, we'll some interesting matchups here. So we'll see how that turns out. But moving on, man, let's stick to the college football world now. But I just want to talk about, you know, Deion Sanders, man. Let's talk Coach Prime right now. So as we all know, man, Deion Sanders, you know, he took the head coaching job at Colorado. You know, a lot of people obviously were shocked about it. Me personally, I was kind of surprised when it, because it kind of, it just popped up and it was just like, dang, like what? Like you just really felt like it was a rumor until it wasn't. And, you know, you didn't think that, you know, Deion would leave after 2 years. A lot of people felt like, you know, he should have stayed longer. A lot of people feel like he betrayed the, you know, HBCUs and the black community. And it's been a lot of stuff that's been said about, you know, Deion Sanders. And so my question is, you know, is the criticism that Deion has gotten for leaving Jackson State fair? Is that fair for him to be criticized the way that he has been criticized by, you know, the fan base, by some other, you know, some people in the media? For me, I say no. I don't think it's fair. I don't think the all the criticism is fair. First and foremost, he did everything he said he would do at Jackson State, except win the Celebration Bowl. But he's done everything else he said he wanted to do. I mean, obviously, there was some stuff that he wanted to. There was some more things that he wanted to accomplish, you know, with the program and everything, but. You know, for the most part, he came in there and he turned it around. You know, we can't deny that. We're not going to sit up here and act like, you know, he didn't do a great job. You know, first and foremost, a gutsy, you know, decision to take the head coaching job at Jackson State. You know, coming in and realizing and recognizing that, you know, it was going to be a big responsibility, but, you know, he took it head on. And I think that, you know, he did a phenomenal job during his tenure as the head coach at Jackson State. Now, I do understand, you know, being shocked about him leaving because, like I said, I was shocked. I was. But to say that he used, you know, HBCUs to get to the next level and he turned his back on black colleges, I think that's a reach. Like, I think people, you got to pump the brakes when it comes to like saying stuff like that, because I don't think that he used HBCUs to get to the next level. I don't think that he came in and said, look, he never came in and said that, look, I'm going to be here for this amount of time and I'm, you know, fully committed to staying here, you know, no matter what. That never came out of his mouth, you know. And a lot of people may not know about this, but he actually appeared on 60 Minutes, and he said he was asked, you know, if a Power Five school approached you about being their next head coach, what would you do? And he said that he would entertain it. He actually said, look, I would entertain it. I would be crazy not to entertain it. You know, he didn't lie. So a lot of people think that he lied, and in reality, he never lied. He actually said that he would entertain it, and that's exactly what he did. And, you know, just to, you know, recap what he's done since coming there, you know, Sanders in 2021, he led JSU to an 11-2 record. They were 8-0 in the SWAC, and they reached the SWAC championship. Beat Prairie View 27-10, but they actually got beat down. They lost to South Carolina State in the Celebration Bowl 31-10. This year, JSU was 12-0. They defeated Southern 43-24 in the SWAC Championship, second SWAC Championship in a row. And they faced North Carolina Central in the Celebration Bowl. Now, this game right here was... this was a thriller, y'all. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better Celebration Bowl than what we got to witness this past weekend, man. I mean, 41-34. They lost to NC Central, but that was one heck of a finish, y'all. And I mean, the touchdown on 4th and 10 when Shador hit Travis Hunter in the corner of the end zone. It was just, that was amazing, y'all. Like, I was hyped watching that game. Like, I mean, I was pulling for Jackson State. I wanted Jackson State to win, and I wanted Deion to go out with a W. And, you know, especially because my grandmother went to Jackson State too. So, you know, and then I have a one of my best friends. He went to Jackson State as well. So I've been to Jackson State on their campus before, and you know, had an opportunity to, you know, be down there once before. And, you know, I wanted them to win this game. Unfortunately, you know, they weren't able to get it done. And especially when the kid, the tight end, he drops, I think his name's like Hagar or something. He drops the touchdown that would have put him in the position to tie the game. So, like, everybody is killing him right now. Like, they are going off on him. And, you know, you got to catch that, man. You cannot drop that pass, man. You just can't. And I do like how Deion came and approached him after the game and said, look, we lost this game together. This wasn't on you, you know. And he really handled that like a coach should. You know, he consoled him after the game. But, man, you got to catch that, bro. I'm sorry. Like, nobody else wants to hear that. You got to catch that. You know, and especially, like, I'm not going to say what's being said, because obviously we know that, you know, he's white and playing for HBCU. So you can only imagine the type of stuff that's being said, well, and that has been said already. Not going to come on the podcast and say, you know, the stuff that I've seen, obviously, because I just don't want to bring that into the show. But y'all have seen it. Y'all have heard it. but, you know, it's, you got to make that play, man. You have to. Now, that's not the only reason why they lost the game, because, to be realistic, Jackson State couldn't stop their running back for NC Central. They couldn't stop the quarterback. They had a lot of trouble stopping those guys. And they really did. And they just didn't have enough at the end of the day. But going back to Deion, man, you know, he got exposure for not only JSU, but for HBCUs as a whole. You know, he got better facilities for JSU's football team. And he changed the culture, man. We can't lie about that. He came in and changed the culture and brought a new mindset, a new attitude, got everybody to buy into what he was trying to accomplish. So, you know, I think that, like I said, he did a phenomenal job, and unfortunately didn't come out with the win, but, you know, it is what it is. And now the new head coach is going to be T.C. Taylor. He's actually a former Jackson State quarterback and a wide receiver. He's been a part of Jackson State's coaching staff since 2019. Actually coached tight ends and a wide receiver. So, you know, a new era has begun under T.C. Taylor. And I definitely expect him to do a really good job, you know, when it comes to recruiting and stuff like that. And excited to see, you know, JSU, if they can keep this thing going. You know, obviously I know that they're going to be losing, you know, some players that are going to be going with Deion to Colorado, obviously, but they still have some talent there, and we'll see what happens, man. Do I have an issue with how Deion Sanders spoke to, you know, the team at Colorado? No, I don't. I don't have that issue with it at all. You know, Colorado, they went 1-11 last year, finished last in the Pac-12. So if Sanders is going to change that, he has to come in. He has to establish the energy. He has to establish the culture from day one. Like, coming in and telling those guys, look, this is not happening anymore. Like, whatever it is that you're used to doing, it's not happening. Like, we're changing this thing up. Like, that's it. And if you can't get down with that, if you can't buy into that, then you could go. And, you know, some people had a problem with him telling them, like, oh, hey, go ahead and get into the transfer portal. What he was saying was, if you're not willing to put in the work and the time and the dedication that it's going to take to get to the next level, to be relevant again, to get the fans excited and to fill the seats, the bleachers, you can go. Because I have players that are coming that have not had the facilities that you've had, have not had the opportunities that you had, and are not in a Power 5 conference, and they're hungry, and they're ready, and they're willing to work. They've already shown me that at the level, they already showed me that while at JSU. And so coming into a Power 5, he knows they're going to be hungry and ready and willing to work even more. So that's the message that he's trying to get across, that he's getting across to the team, and that he wants them to understand. During his first 2 weeks, Sanders he's gotten three new commits for 2023. He's landed players from the transfer portal, and he's landed a five-star prospect in 2025. And he's also rebuilding his coaching staff. And Sanders also came in, and said that, hey, look, people look at me and they're saying like, oh, I turned my back on HBCUs. And that's not the case. What he's looking at this thing from a bigger picture, y'all, like from a 360 view. He's trying to look at it from the bigger picture. And I know a lot of people who do understand that, and just think about it. I was talking with somebody about this the other week where, he's in the Power 5 now, but let's say, they start scheduling, to play HBCUs, and, I don't know what the schedule is going to look like next year, but the year after that, let's just say, they schedule, Alabama A&M, or they schedule a Grambling, or they schedule a Southern on their football schedule, and they're pouring millions of dollars back into those schools to play them. So now he's pouring back into HBCUs from the Power 5 level, which we don't see a lot of Power 5 conferences playing HBCUs at all. So when you look at it from that perspective, it's like, hey, look, you're still putting money back into HBCUs. And I'm pretty sure he's going to be pushing heavy for those type of games to be scheduled. So y'all got to back up off of Deion, man. Like, just relax. I think that, going into Colorado, it's going to be tough, but I think that he's looking at it and he's saying, look, okay, we got USC and UCLA potentially going to be leaving to go to the Big Ten. Looking at it like that, hey, the opportunity is there. So, like I said, when those two teams move out of the Pac-12, then, hey, you never know. So I think that Deion has the opportunity. I think that he's going to turn Colorado around, and I think that they're going to make some noise. I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight, obviously, but I definitely think that with the players that they're bringing in, and players that are entering the transfer portal and coming into Colorado, and then the coaching staffs that he's going to build, that he's currently building, I think that they're going to have these guys ready. So, hey, I'm excited, man. I'm happy for him. And I think that, hey, we might see Colorado competing for that Pac-12 championship in the next couple of years. So don't doubt it. Don't doubt it. So, but yeah, man, let's move on, man, and let's talk college basketball, man. So, I just wanted to review the current top 10. So, do a preview of the top 10 and talk about who the hottest team in basketball, in college basketball, is right now. So, for me, before I answer that, so the current top 10 as it stands right now, is Purdue at number one, UConn at two, Houston at three, Kansas at four, Arizona five, Virginia six, Texas seven, Tennessee eight, Alabama nine, and Arkansas 10. I had previously really looked at the top 10 before this past weekend because a lot of stuff changed. Some stuff changed this past weekend because some teams lost. But before, the top four teams were Purdue, Virginia, UConn, and Bama. So I was looking at it and I was saying, look, looking at Purdue's best wins, they have wins over number six, Gonzaga, who they blew out, and number eight, Duke, who they blew out. Virginia has wins over number five, Baylor, and number 19, Illinois. UConn has their best win over number 18, Alabama, at the time, which they blew Bama out. And Alabama wins over number 12, Michigan State, number one, UNC, and number one, Houston. And I don't care what y'all say about North Carolina saying, like, oh, they're not the real number. They weren't a real number one. Look, they had a one on there. They had a one next to them on the TV screen when I was watching Alabama play them. And that game was a thriller. It was four overtimes, by the way. I was saying before this past weekend, I thought Alabama was the hottest team in college basketball. They're currently 9-2, but before this weekend, 9-1 record, first in the SEC, led by freshman Brandon Miller, who's averaging 18.5 points and 8 rebounds a game. They're third in the SEC in points, rebounds, and threes. Is Brandon Miller. Alabama is also, you know, second in SEC in points, number one in rebounds, and number two in blocks. Nate Oates, man, has done a great job with this young team. And, you know, I thought that I would say before this past week, I was saying Alabama was the hottest team. And I still think that they were hot, you know. But lost by 10 to Gonzaga this past weekend, you know, Drew Timmy and those guys. I felt like Alabama had opportunity in that game to win. I don't think the game was officiated really well for me. I just look at Drew Timmy and, you know, really good player, but I just think that they favor Drew Timmy way too much to me. I mean, he gets way too many ticky-tack foul calls. Like, I can't really get down with that. I don't really like seeing games like that when these referees are so quick with the whistle. And it's frustrating to see that, but it is what it is, you know. But Purdue, man, Purdue is a hot team. I think Alabama has the best wins right now. You can argue Purdue with Gonzaga and Duke if you want to, but I do think that having a win over number 12 and then two number one teams, I think that that's impressive. Seeing from, you know, how Alabama was last year and bringing in a younger team this year, just to see what they've been able to do. And you know, UNC was on a neutral site. Houston was on the road at home. It was on the road at Houston. So that's a tough environment to play in, man. So, hey, I definitely think that Bama has the best wins. Now, the hottest team, you got to give it to Purdue. Obviously, they're the number one team right now. So, you know, I would say that they are the hottest. But I do think that, like I said, Alabama has the best wins so far. But I'm excited because SEC play is getting all conference play is getting ready to open up. But, you know, I'm an SEC guy. So SEC conference play is getting ready to open up. So I'm excited to see how Bama does against the other SEC competition, because, you know, being pretty well represented in the top 25 so far. And like I said, you got Tennessee, Bama, and Arkansas, the top three in the SEC right now that are in the top 10. So excited to see how things shake up there. And we'll continue to follow it, man. So next up, let's talk about the Heisman winner. So just wanted to highlight, you know, Caleb Williams winning the Heisman Trophy this year. Williams was the correct choice, I believe. You know, he received 544 first place votes. He threw for 4,075 yards, which is fourth in the nation. 37 touchdowns, which is tied for first in the nation, and just four interceptions all year. Finished with an 86.5 point QBR. That's quarterback rating, which is fifth in the nation. Williams, you know, he brought excitement back to USC, you know, and, you know, he helped make USC relevant again. Him and Lincoln Riley, and, you know, they had Jordan Addison and those guys, and, you know, they gave the USC fans hope again. Max Dugan, quarterback out of TCU, he actually finished in second place. C.J. Stroud finished third place. And Stetson Bennett finished fourth place, which I don't even understand why Stetson Bennett was even invited. Call me a hater, whatever you want to call me. Stetson Bennett is not even the best player on his team, offense or defense. They could have invited Jalen Carter, and I would have been cool. But don't just they're just inviting Stetson Bennett because he's a quarterback and Georgia's number one. Like, let's be honest, they knew Stetson Bennett was not winning the Heisman. Like, it wasn't even close. Like, that was not happening. I get it. Okay, invite him. Cool. But I would have preferred to see somebody like Jalen Carter go. That would have made more sense to me, because I just don't think that, you know, oh, if they didn't have Stetson Bennett, they couldn't win games. He's not that. I don't see Bennett being that type of player where it's like, oh my God, everything's going to fall apart if Stetson's not out there. I mean, I'm just saying, y'all, like, let's be honest. Y'all knew Stetson Bennett was not going to win a Heisman. But I get it. He's a quarterback for the number one team. Cool. And I think if Hendon Hooker didn't get hurt, I think Hendon Hooker would have got invited. I think, you know, if Bryce didn't get hurt, and it's hard to, you know, obviously have a season like he had last year again. It's hard to repeat seasons like that. But, you know, they were in, I think Bryce finished sixth in the voting. Now, if he had a better defense to help him out, then he would have had, it would have looked a little better too, and better receivers, man. He just could not get in sync with the receivers this year. Just didn't. It wasn't like J-Mo and Mechie at all. So, a lot of younger guys just not always on the same page. But again, I definitely think that, you know, they got it right with Caleb Williams. Think that was the right choice. And last but not least, man, let's talk NFL, man. So the San Francisco 49ers clinched the NFC West. So question is, man, look, can Brock Purdy lead this team to a deep playoff run? Like I said, man, there's the playoffs matchups are starting to, you know, take some shape, but there's still a lot of football left to be played. So, you know, I'm not previewing it just yet, but I am going to talk more about it as, you know, these next few weeks go by and the playoff picture shakes up. Definitely want to dive deeper into that. But just wanted to touch base on this because the Niners clinched the NFC West, and they were the first. I think I think they were the first team to clinch their division, if I'm not mistaken. But then I know the Vikings clinched the NFC North this past weekend too. So, but with their 21-13 road win against Seattle on Thursday night, the Niners, they officially clinched the NFC West, like I already said, and a spot in the playoffs. They're currently 10-4. Now the Niners, they've been led by rookie quarterback Brock Purdy for the last few weeks after Jimmy G suffered that broken foot against the Dolphins. Purdy actually came into that game, and this happened early. He came in, went 25-37, 210 yards, two touchdowns versus the Dolphins. Followed that up the next week went going 16-21, 185 yards and two touchdowns in a blowout against the Bucks. Then Purdy went 17-26, 217 yards and two touchdowns on the road against the Seahawks. In two starts, he's completed 70% of his passes with four touchdowns. Only Aaron Rodgers and Jimmy G have done that in their first two career starts since 1950. So, you know, the 49ers, man, they're a dangerous team. And, you know, I believe that Brock Purdy, you know, he has what it takes to lead them to a deep playoff run. I think that, you know, they're definitely, you know, have some weapons there. And especially if Debo comes back and is able to come back by the playoff time, I think that, man, that I already think that the Niners are dangerous, but I think they're even more dangerous with Debo Samuel in the lineup as well, man. You get Christian McCaffrey, Debo Samuel, George Kittle, you know, and solid running game too. Well, obviously with McCaffrey, but, you know, I just think that they're scary. You know, you do not want to play the 49ers in the playoffs. I'm just going to say that right now. That's a team that you don't want to play. With the way they're playing football right now, since McCaffrey's gotten there, that's a team you don't want to see. Now, they're definitely going to have some decisions to make at the end of the year in the offseason. Do they let Jimmy G walk and let Purdy and Lance compete for the starting job? Hey, that's questions that need to be answered. But I say, look, if Purdy comes in here, man, leads them to a deep playoff run. What if they end up in the Super Bowl? That would be even crazier. But I still, you know, I don't know if they get to the Super Bowl. But I'm not putting it past them because, like I said, they have a really solid team, scary team that you don't want to face. But let's just say Brock leads them into a NFC championship run. You know, does he come out and is he the starting quarterback? Is he named QB1 heading into, you know, the training camp? Or is Shanahan going to say, look, these guys are going to battle it out in a competition, and then you let Jimmy G go? That's what I would do. I would let Jimmy walk, and I would have Purdy and Lance battle that thing out, man, for the future of the Niners. That's just me. But, hey, y'all, that's all I had, man. I appreciate everybody, again, jumping in, joining the podcast. Give me some of your time, man, to talk some good sports talk, as always. Hey, I'll catch you guys on the next episode. Just want to say, again, happy holidays to you and yours. Merry Christmas, man. I'll see y'all on the next episode. Peace, blessings, and, as always, Roll Tide. I'm out.